Amen. Let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider his word just now. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Savior. We thank thee that he's an all-sufficient Redeemer. And O God, we thank thee that when we have Christ, we don't need any other. We praise thee for the sacrifice that he made, that he died the just for the unjust. He died and shed his blood for our sins. And O God, we pray that we thank thee that he rose again. We just pray, Lord, in these days that you would help us to make him known to the world and sin. O God, help us, Lord, to shine out in our testimonies. Give us those good testimonies that when others look at us, they will see Christ. And we pray, Lord, today that you would come and anoint us afresh with thy Holy Spirit. O God, we thank thee for each head bowed in your presence. Bless us today. O God, bless thy word to our hearts. Lord, it's not the words of man. It's not the words of a preacher. We thank thee for that, Lord. We praise thee, O God, that we can turn now to the sacred word of God, the infallible word of God, the scriptures of truth. And Lord, we just pray in our studies today that you would come, Lord, and speak to us. May the word of God come with freshness to our hearts. And O God, may we leave God's house saying it was good to be here, for it was here where we met with the Lord. So give us a message from thee, Lord. O God, help us just now to rightly divide thy truth, even as we come, Lord, to consider this subject and as we come to consider this passage of Scripture. For in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Turn, please, again to Acts 13. Look at verse 2 again. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." In Acts chapters 13 and 14, we read about Paul's first missionary journey. As you know, Paul went on three missionary journeys. And on those missionary journeys, many souls were saved and many churches were planted to the glory of God. And of course, missionary work, as you know, is one of the most vital aspects of the Church of Jesus Christ. Indeed, the last command that the Son of God gave to his disciples before he ascended back up into heaven was that great command, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Here we have the Great Commission, the Savior's final word to the church before he ascended up into heaven. And what, therefore, a great responsibility was and is placed upon the Church of Jesus Christ. Missionary work, of course, is a vital part of God's work, even in this 21st century in which we live. And we thank God for our missionaries. We thank God for those who have left family and home and land and gone across the world to spread the message of the gospel. And it's so important that we always remember to pray for them around the throne of grace. But as we come today to consider Paul's first missionary journey, I want to emphasize the call of the missionary. Now, tonight in the will of the Lord, we're going to look at the work of the missionary. And then next Lord's Day, we're going to consider the message of the missionary. But today, at this service, I want to draw your attention to the call of the missionary. There's no doubt that when you study Acts chapter 13, we see that Paul and Barnabas were both called to be missionaries. And of course, that's what we have there in verse 2 of Acts chapter 13. And I pray as we come to consider this subject today that the Lord will bless all of our hearts. And even today from this congregation, I pray that the Lord will call young men and young women to go forth and bring the message of the gospel to a dying world. There's a great need in this 21st century for missionaries. Of course, there's a great need for pastors and for evangelists and for children's workers as well. A great need for God to call young men and young women into full-time service. And I pray that even in this congregation, the Lord will set his hand upon some that will go forth and spread the message of the gospel. But before we consider Paul and Barnabas' definite call to be missionaries, I want you to notice a number of things here. And I'm sure that you have studied this passage of Scripture many, many times. But I want you to notice, first of all, that Paul and Barnabas were men of God who had a desire to serve the Lord even before they were called to be missionaries. Did you ever notice that? As you read down this passage of Scripture, look what it says in verse 1 of Acts chapter 13. It says, "Now there were in the church..." Underline that. They weren't outside the church. They were in the church that was at Antioch. "Certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas," and then when you go to the end of the verse, "and Saul." Not only were Paul and Barnabas men who were saved, but they were also men who were engaged in the service of Christ even before they were called to the mission field. There were men who were already involved in the work of God in their local congregation. And it's so important that you see that right at the beginning of Acts chapter 13. Note here that these two men were men who had a desire to serve the Lord from the very moment they were converted. Such was their love for Christ and his cause that all they wanted to do was to serve their master. Paul and Barnabas were men whose lives were dedicated to the work of God even before God called them into full-time service. And they were, when they were converted, they had this great desire to see others saved and to see the work of God advanced. The first time Barnabas is mentioned in the Bible, we can see his dedication to the work of God. If you just turn back again to Acts chapter 4, take the time to read verse 37, you will see here that Barnabas had land. And the Bible says, "Having land, he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Barnabas gave all that he had to the Lord's work." And not only did he give his money to the Lord, but he gave himself to the Lord. He gave all that he had to the Lord. From the very moment he was saved and converted to Christ, he had this burning desire to serve the Lord. And of course, also when we consider Paul's conversion, from the very first day Paul was saved on the Damascus Road, he had this burning desire to serve Christ. Acts 9 verse 6, underline it again, they're familiar words I'm sure to most of us. But we read this about Saul of Tarsus after his conversion. "And he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to do?'" So you can see there that from the very moment Saul and Barnabas were converted to Christ, they had this desire to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, what lesson do we learn here? Well, simply this. Before God calls us to do a specific task for him, he will give us a desire to serve him in our local congregation. In other words, before God calls us into full-time service, we will already be serving him generally in some way in the church of Jesus Christ. And that's what I believe we learn here from this passage of Scripture. Paul and Barnabas were in the church at Antioch. And in the church of Antioch, they had this desire to serve Christ in that local congregation. And the Lord blessed them. And it was in these circumstances, as they were serving the Lord at Antioch, in that local congregation, that the Lord then spoke to them personally and individually and called them to wider fields of service, as we're going to find out in a moment. Child of God, get involved in the work of God in your local church, in your local congregation, in the congregation that God has called you to. I believe that this is the will of God for all of his people. And then, who knows, maybe God will call you to wider fields of service. That's what's happening here, I believe, in Acts chapter 13. Paul and Barnabas were serving the Lord in the church at Antioch. And as they did so, God called them to be missionaries. Child of God is so important that you get involved in the local congregation, in the children's work, in the outreach work, giving out gospel tracts. We have a monthly meeting every month in the old people's home in Gordachara, and we certainly need help in that meeting. There's so much for you to get involved in this church, and I pray that you'll do that. And I know as you do that, the Lord will bless you and that the Lord will encourage you, and who knows? But as you serve the Lord here in Bethel, who knows? But the Lord might set his hand upon you and call you to be a missionary, call you to be a pastor, call you to be a full-time evangelist, call you to be a full-time children's worker. Well, you can see here the desire that Paul and Barnabas had before they were missionaries. Now, notice something else. Take a look at verse 2, and you'll see that Paul and Barnabas were men of prayer. They were men of prayer before they were missionaries. Look what it says in verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Underline that. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. This means that they were carrying out their duties faithfully as servants of Christ. And as they did so, they ministered unto the Lord. A part of that ministry was praying and fasting. Now, we can ask the question at this point, what would they have been praying for? Well, I'm sure they were praying for many things. But I believe one of the many things that they would have been praying for unto the Lord would have been for laborers to be sent forth to spread the gospel. You remember what the Lord Jesus Christ commanded the disciples in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. He said this, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And you know, very often, God will call those to do the very task that they have been praying that others might do. I believe that is what's happened here in Acts chapter 13. As Paul and Barnabas prayed and sought the face of God, the Lord called them to be missionaries. As they prayed, the Lord revealed his will for their lives to them. Oh, I pray today that the Lord will again emphasize upon us the great need to pray for laborers for the harvest fields. We need more missionaries. Of that there is no doubt. We need more young men and young women to go into full-time service. And that's why it's so important to come to the prayer meetings on a Tuesday night, not only to pray for the work of God in Bethel, and that is needful, and that is so important, but we must meet as a church to pray that God will thrust others out into the mission field. And who knows, if you were to come and pray for God to send forth missionaries, who knows, but God might set his hand upon you. God might call you, even as you sit in the prayer meeting and as you pray for more laborers to be thrust out into the work of God. Who knows, but God might call you to be a missionary. I believe that's what happened here. Look what it says in verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, as they prayed, as they sought the face of God concerning others to go out to spread the message of the gospel. Look what happens. The Holy Ghost said. He said it in the prayer meeting. He said it as they were praying for more laborers to be sent forth with the message of the gospel. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Child of God, as we pray and seek God's will for our lives, God will reveal his will to us through his word. Here we have the word of God coming to Barnabas and Saul. And as the word of God comes to these two saints of God, the Lord directs them to be missionaries. He directs them to bring the message of the gospel to others. You know, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1 verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. And of course, that more sure word of prophecy is God's precious, precious truth, the Word of God. Maybe there are young people here today, and you are praying for God's will for your life. I hope you are. Well, keep praying. Maybe the Lord will not call you to be a missionary. Maybe the Lord will not call you into full-time service, but at least make yourself available. And who knows what the Lord could do with your life, even your life. Thank God and praise God. The Lord calls missionaries and calls pastors and evangelists. He calls them from the body of Christ. And he calls those who have a desire to serve him. And he calls those who pray. Not only pray for themselves, not only pray for the work of God in the local congregation, but those who pray and have a vision for the mission field. Those who pray that more laborers might be sent forth into the harvest fields. So you can see what's happening here. And it's very clear to see what's happening here. There's a prayer meeting taking place. And as they pray and fast concerning full-time workers, those to go into the harvest fields, the Lord calls Paul and Barnabas. Indeed, I want you, thirdly, to notice that Paul and Barnabas were men who received a definite call from God. Now, this is very important. This is of the utmost importance. Look what it says in verse 2 again. Look what it says. It says, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work." Now, underline these words. "Whereunto I have called them." Underline those words. Here we have the call of God in the life of Barnabas and Saul. Notice that is the Holy Ghost that calls them. God calls them. The word "separate" there in the text, it means to set apart. Therefore, Paul and Barnabas were being set apart for a specific task. The Lord wanted them to do a specific work for him. Now, they had been working for him. They had been serving the Lord in the church at Antioch. They were doing their best for Christ in that local congregation. But now the Lord was going to set these two men apart and call them apart. And he was going to thrust them into the missionary aspect of the church. He was going to make them missionaries. And he was calling them to do that. My, it was the call of God in their life. And the Holy Ghost not only called them, but look at verse 4. And you'll see that the Holy Ghost sent them. Look what it says in verse 4. "So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost." So not only did the Lord call them and reveal unto them through his word that he wanted them to be missionaries and to go on this missionary journey and spread the message of the gospel. But then the Bible tells us here that he sent them. He sent them. And you know the wonderful thing is this. They were willing to go. They were willing to go. I wonder today, are we willing to go? Are you willing to serve the Lord wherever he would have you to go? You know, that's the big question, isn't it, really? Young person, even older person in the meeting today, you have a desire to serve the Lord. You're praying for God's work. You're praying that God will thrust more laborers into the harvest field. Well, what if God today was to come and put his hand on you and say, "Well, I want you to go. I want you to go to Africa. I want you to go to Kenya. I want you to go to Uganda. I want you to go to Brazil. I want you to leave your home and to leave your local congregation. And I want you to spread the message of the gospel in a certain place." Would you go? Would you go? Oh, I pray today that we would all be willing to go. Well, Saul and Barnabas were certainly willing to go. My friend, the truth is this. There's someone you're not even willing to give out a gospel tract. You're not even willing to go and sit in a children's meeting. You're not even willing to go and knock a door in your own street. Don't think God's going to call you to be a missionary.
in Africa. It's a solemn thought. It's a solemn thought. But it's the truth. And you and I know it today. But notice something else here. That there was no doubt that the Holy Ghost strengthened them for this task. Look at verse 52. Near the end of the chapter. Indeed at the very end of the chapter. Look what it says. And the disciples were filled with joy. And with the Holy Ghost. The disciples were filled with joy. My, the Lord not only called them, and the Lord not only sent them, but the Lord gave them that strength to serve Him. And praise God, if the Lord calls you and sends you, He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the ability. Now, maybe you're here today, and you feel that you haven't got the ability to serve the Lord. Well, friend, if the Lord calls you and sends you, then He'll give you that ability. And certainly, as far as Paul and Barnabas were concerned, I'm sure they went forth in fear and trembling. But as they went on this missionary journey, and we're going to see and read more about it, and study more about it in the weeks that ahead, there's no doubt that the Lord strengthened them and the Lord gave them the words to preach. And as they preached the gospel that Christ sent them to preach, there were many saved and many lives were changed. But the point I want to make is this, that Paul and Barnabas received a definite call from God. They received a definite call from God. Child of God, do not go into full-time service unless you have a definite call of God in your life. Do not be a missionary if God does not call you to be a missionary. Do not be a children's worker, a full-time children's worker. Do not be a pastor or an evangelist in full-time service if God does not call you. If God does not call you. The need does not constitute the call. In other words, just because there is a need for missionaries does not mean that we should be missionaries. Just because there's a need for pastors and ministers does not mean that we should be ministers and pastors. However, as I said before, we all need to make ourselves available. Pray and seek God's will for our lives. God is looking for men and women to serve Him in His work. And there is a great need. We're praying today that God will meet that need and fill that need. But when you study this passage of Scripture, indeed when you study the Word of God, not only in the New Testament but in the Old Testament, you will learn, and I'm sure that you have already learned it, by studying the Word of God, that those who went forth to serve Christ in a full-time capacity, they had the call of God. They had a definite call. We think of Moses, Exodus 3, verse 10. Let me read you these verses. Here we have the call of God to Moses. It's a definite call. And this is what God says to Moses. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee. I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses received the definite call of God to go to Egypt and to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness to the promised land. What about the call of Gideon? Judges 6 verse 14. Listen to these words. And the Lord looked upon him and said, this is the Lord looking upon Gideon. Here's the call. Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? It's a definite call. We could say the same about Jeremiah. The call of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1 verse 4 and 5. Listen to these words. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, there's no doubt that we can see the sovereignty of God there. That even before Jeremiah was born, that God had a special work for Jeremiah to do. And of course, the day came in Jeremiah's life as a young man. The Lord came to him and revealed His will to him. And the call of God in his life. But you can see there that men of God, that God sets them apart even before they're born.
That's a tremendous text of Scripture. What about the call of Jonah? Now, we know that when God called Jonah initially, that he would not obey the call of God in Jonah chapter 1. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." God there specifically calling Jonah to go to Nineveh and to preach the gospel. We know that Jonah didn't go. He disobeyed the Lord. I wonder, is there someone here today, and God has called you, maybe to be a missionary, maybe into some other sphere of service in the Lord's work, and you haven't obeyed the call of God? Oh, my friend, if that's the case, you're miserable today. The most miserable Christian is the Christian who, after God calls them, does not obey the call of God. Of course, we all know that God gave Jonah a second chance. Chapter 3, we read these words. Now, underline them. Verses 1 to 3, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time." Oh, how merciful the Lord is. "Saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh. And what a difference there was in the life of Jonah. When he disobeyed, he got out of the will of God. He ended up not only out of the will of God, but down at the very bottom of the sea in the whale's belly. Miserable. But then God had mercy on him. And the call of God came to Jonah the second time. And Jonah obeyed. And when he obeyed, how the Lord used him to spare the city of Nineveh. Oh, there's no knowing how God will use us when we obey him and when we serve him with all our hearts and souls and minds. But notice the definite call in Acts 13 and verse 2. Child of God, don't miss it. Don't miss it. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work." And the Holy Ghost sent them forth. But there's something else I want you to notice here just before we finish. And this is very, very important. I want you to notice, fourthly, that Paul and Barnabas were men who were then sent out by the church. They were then sent out by the church. Look what it says in verse 3. Don't miss verse 3. Now in verse 2 we have the God's call in their life. The Holy Spirit setting them apart to be missionaries. But look what happens in verse 3. "And when they had fasted and prayed," that's the church, fasting and praying, "they laid their hands on them." That's the church. That's the church, the elders of the church. "They laid their hands on them." They, that's the church. My friend, don't miss that. Don't miss that, because that's of the utmost importance. They, the church, sent them away. You see, God has an order. They went out with the authority of the church and under the authority of the church. And I believe that's God's order. In the book of Acts, God established the New Testament church. We all know that. That New Testament church, as we know, and we're going to find out in the course of these studies, was governed by elders. And from within that New Testament church that was governed by elders, God called and raised up men to go forth as missionaries to bring the message of the gospel to the dying world. Men who were called of God and sent forth by God with the blessing and the authority of the church. The result of those missionaries going forth was to point sinners to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and to establish more New Testament churches to the glory of God. And I believe that God's order is still the same today. God's plan is still the same. God's church must continue to send missionaries forth into the harvest fields who have been called of God and who have been anointed by the Holy Ghost for service. And there is no doubt here, as we continue to study this passage of Scripture, that we're going to see how the Lord blessed the efforts
of Barnabas and Saul, better known to us all as the great apostle Paul. Oh, I pray today that the Lord will come again and send us a breath of revival. When we think of revival, we think of the blessing of God in so many different ways. In revival, not only does the Lord warm the hearts of his people, revive the hearts of his people, and gives them more enthusiasm for the work of God and for their Christian lives day by day, but he saves souls. Not only does he save souls and revive and encourage and strengthen the hearts of his people, but in days of revival, more missionaries will be sent forth by the Holy Ghost and by the church to spread the message of the gospel. How we need to pray for revival, child of God, in our lives and in our churches and in our denomination, in the evangelical church of Jesus Christ today. Why are there so many pulpits vacant? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why are there so many evangelical churches without ministers and without pastors? Why are there not as many missionaries going forth, spreading the message of the gospel? Why? Because we're living in days of coldness. Days of coldness. Spiritually, days of coldness. And the truth is that there are not as many who are willing to go. They're not willing to go. Paul and Barnabas were willing to go. They were willing to go. They were living close to the Lord from the day they were saved. They were serving the Lord, enthusiastic in their local congregation, the church at Antioch, praying that the Lord would come in revival, praying that the Lord would move by his gracious Holy Spirit, praying that God would thrust more laborers into the harvest fields. And as they prayed, and as they labored, and as they served, the Lord set his hand on them. Oh, may God set his hand on more young men and young women in the Free Presbyterian Church, even in Bethel. May the Lord make us willing for his will, the call of the missionary. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the word of God today to our hearts. We know, Lord, that these words are familiar, I'm sure, to most of us. But, oh God, we thank thee for reminding us again of how God works and how God worked in a day gone past and how God will still work in the days that lie ahead. We thank thee for the body of Christ. We thank thee for the church of Jesus Christ. Lord, from that body, from that church, call out men and women. Call out missionaries. Call those, Lord, that will go forth with the message of the gospel. And, oh God, we pray that you'll send us that breath of revival, even in these days in which we live. Oh, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us. We ask thee, Lord, just now that you would bless your word. We thank thee for thy truth. And, oh God, we thank thee for the missionaries that are on the mission field. Bless every one of them. Those that are connected with our own church and those that are connected with all evangelical churches that are seeking to spread the message of Christ and Christ alone. Bless your servants. And, oh God, we pray, raise up many more. Oh, we pray the Lord of the harvest that he might send forth laborers into the harvest fields. And, oh God, while in others thou art calling, do not pass us by. Bless us now, we pray thee. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.